got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Decided to go back to the original, huh, Sean?
Yeah, I figured we needed a little bit of classic injection here. You know, we've been going off a little bit off topic, but I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go back to the OG for a minute.
Last time I had a classic injection, I got sick the next day and couldn't work. Hey, is Aaron still around? Aaron Dranello?
Hi.
Oh, Aaron, yeah, okay. Hey, what was that Marshawn Fauci thing from? Who was that for?
Well, it was Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode Productions. It was posted on his YouTube video today. And it sounds like it was an effort to get people of color to trust the vaccine. That's what it sounded like to me from the Marshawn Lynch interview. So, yeah, Heather listened through it and put together that piece for us.
I think everybody who wants the vaccine should get the vaccine. I still don't think younger people need it, but that's just, man, Fauci won't say no to anybody.
No, it sounds like he Fauci-Z. Did you hear that? That's what Beast Mode called.
Yes.
I love that. Haven't heard that.
Yeah, man, he is an attention you know what. Okay. All right, Aaron, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, let's do a little more Fog Hat here, Sean. Marshawn Lynch and Anthony Fauci. Jeez. That's today's sign. The end is near. Oh, man. Okay, I got a guest on the line here. I got to get to the show. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
A couple of days ago, I got a Facebook message from a grandma of a little leaguer, and she couldn't believe what was happening to a group of kids down in the Lacey area. They've been fundraising, playing together since they were eight, fundraising for 3 years for this summer to go to Cooperstown, New York, the home of baseball's Hall of Fame, where they were going to play in a tournament and do all kinds of cool stuff. But unbelievably, the tournament now says that you can only come if all the kids are vaccinated, and there's been no vaccine approved even for 12-year-olds. It's crazy. A couple of hours ago, I talked to one of the kids, Beckett, and his mom, Tasha, the coach of this Little League team. He had a fine, long Major League Baseball career. He's the pride of Centralia. Lyle Overbay joins us here in the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Lyle, it's great to talk with you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at your career. How many teams did you play for?
I think six, and maybe if you count Boston as a spring training. I got released out of spring training from Boston, so that would have been number seven. So
okay, but a real nice career, 1,300 hits, 14 years. So after traveling all around the country with Major League Baseball, you decided to come back home to the Centralia area to live the rest of your life?
Yeah, both my wife and I are from Centralia, and we just both of our families are here. You can't beat the summers here, and I think that was kind of our big deciding factor, family.
Okay.
and the summertime, you know, because once the kids are out of school, you want them outside doing things, and every place we're looking at it just kind of like, yeah. And then family has been a big part of us. So yeah,
that's cool. I think it's wonderful. And did I hear right? Do you have six kids?
You heard correct.
Holy moly! So one of the greatest joys in my life has been coaching. And I mean, it's other than family stuff, coaching is at the absolute top of my list of some of the things we accomplished. So tell me about this group of kids and what you were going to do in Cooperstown this summer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've had a couple friends that have done this, and they're like, it's the greatest experience. I mean, it's a cool deal. And So it's, and it takes a lot of planning. So we, I mean, when we were, I think, 9 years old, we were like, hey, do you want to take this group and go? So it's been in the planning for the last 3 years, and obviously the pandemic kind of canceled it last year, and then they're kind of moving forward this year. And I had conversation with them early, just because I didn't know where or how it was going to happen. So I kind of wanted to see if it was going to work. And I was optimistic. I thought that we would kind of, they would might have to require some negative testing, you know, that kind of thing,
sure,
part of being part of it. But this I didn't see coming, and it's unfortunate.
Well, so they actually are saying the kids have to be vaccinated. How is that even possible? Since no vaccine, they just approved vaccines for 16-year-olds. No vaccine has been approved for anybody under the age of 16. So how in the world could they have a vaccine requirement when that's not even FDA approved?
Yeah, I talked to them yesterday, and they did say that they have been hearing, and they've been that it has been going in to get FDA approved. But I mean, you have to read the fine lines, because when it's FDA approved, it's still for emergency use. It's not, you know, so those are the things where it's like, it's not quite approved to and safe for, you know, just because they haven't had the clinical trials, you know, that kind of thing. And obviously, in Beckett's situation, those are hard ones.
Well, I mean, not only that, Lab, but I'm not an anti-vaxxer by any stretch. I just got my second vaccine last Sunday. My daughters are in their 20s. I think it's a wash whether there's more upside or downside. I think they're choosing to get vaccinated, but I've just given them my thoughts. I would not let a 12-year-old get vaccinated because COVID doesn't affect kids, and we still don't know what the effects of the vaccine are going to be. So I assume you have a kid on the team as well.
Yeah, I've got this. Yeah, and I'm the same way. I just and I try to look at the other, you know, the other side and what they're trying to do. And talking to them yesterday, they were like, this is why they're doing it. And it's mainly just because they haven't got a whole lot of guidance from the state. And I think that if one or two cases pop up, they would have to shut down the whole program. And I just, you know, you get to the point where it's like, well, I mean, you're reading all this because I think people are getting the virus still after they've been vaccinated. So it's, so, you know, it's not going to be 100% foolproof. I don't know if that's, you know, for me, it's like, I don't know if that's the answer, but I know that they're trying to salvage this year and do that. But again, I think it's just a part of just not having a whole lot of communication with and guidelines as far as the state requirements and all that kind of stuff too. So it's kind of frustrating because it's, you know, it's not their fault. It's not our fault. It's not the, you know, state's fault, but it's like, well, at some point we've got to figure out something.
Well, yeah, I just, there's no way I would let my 12-year-old get vaccinated. I think the downside is much greater than the upside. I just think we've gone crazy in this country with that stuff. So,
yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know. I get if we're looking at the science and I don't see the science in that. So it's hard for me.
The science is that they shouldn't get vaccinated because they don't get sick if they get COVID and they don't transmit it. And so the science is the exact opposite of what people are demanding. So did you get your money back? Because at first I heard that they weren't going to refund, but now I've heard that you probably did get it back.
Yeah. So I did. When I did talk to them, they were like, hey, because there was three options, and I was like, well, no option is a full refund here. So I was like, these conditions changed when we said, because I mean, when we signed up, it said, you know, there's a fee. Part of the fee is non-refundable, no matter what, or you know, not no matter what, but it's non-refundable. And when I talked to him, I said, hey, what, he's like, well, if it's not going to run full, we're probably not going to do it. Cause that's, I think that's part of the, why it's such a great experience, is because they stay in the kind of the dorms, the cottages, whatever you want to call them. And I mean, it's just the interaction with the kids and everybody, they just, it's kind of a cool little community. And so they were like, if we can't do that, then it's not worth it. And
yeah.
So I was calling them and saying, hey, the conditions change, and they didn't balk it at all. They were like, hey, no, this is, you guys can't come. We understand. We just got to give you an option for, which wasn't on there, but he's like, option four is full refund. So
okay, got
they're doing the right thing. And I'm glad that they are, just cause it's, I don't want them to ruin, what they've built. And I think that would have been a big deal.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. Well, it's a shame for the kids. My wife and I took our three girls to Cooperstown when they were little, and it is the most beautiful community. And I got to tell you something. When I talked to Beckett, this was the cutest thing. I said, do you have a favorite Hall of Famer? And he said, Lyle. he told me you have a bat in the Hall of Fame. Is that right?
I don't know if it's still there. Because they put, like the, you know, you have your, the teams have their kind of little section.
Yeah.
And the Brewers end up putting one of them in there, and one of my bats in there. So because I led the league in doubles in 2004. So
yeah, see that 53 doubles. I see. That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad for a slow white guy, right?
You know, it's weird. I've gotten so much backlash from my listeners with since they moved that All-Star game. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I'm so frustrated. I felt like when I was playing, it was like baseball was any sport, honestly, was just it. It was its own thing, and it was not political. It wasn't anything. And I said, people have their rights to go, you know, do things, but I don't see that as, and it's hard for me because I'm like, I don't want that. It just ends up being political. And I was like, that's what's such great about baseball or football or basketball, that it just, you could get away from it all. And that's a turn into that. And I feel bad because I'm not a big fan. I'm not watching Major League Baseball.
I've heard that from so many people. Yeah, I mean, it's just from a business decision. I don't know why they decided to get into politics. All right, well, I won't drag you any deeper into politics here.
Oh, it's all good. It is frustrating, and I feel bad because I love the game, and I want my kids to love it. You know, I mean, they play it, but I mean, they're not going to MLB games, or, you know, I mean, we'll probably end up going at the end of the day, but just because I know that there are some of my friends that are still playing. There's only a few, but I know that some of them aren't, they don't agree with it, but what sucks is they have to be a part of it, and they are part of that, and it's unfortunate, but
yeah, it really
I hope they figure it out soon, because I felt like that's what made everything different from sports, was it just wasn't that. There was nothing political. It was just, here, let's go out and play and root for your team. And
it was escapism so we could get away from all the nonsense of real life. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, I hope your kids have great adventures. I know you're planning to go elsewhere, but not Cooperstown this summer. But sounds like the kids, good group of kids you have there.
Yeah, they are, and that's what's fun. I mean, it makes it fun. It makes coaching fun, as you know. I mean, it's just that's good parents, good families, good kids. It's just unfortunate because they've been looking forward to it for the last 3 years.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah. Well, I wish you the best, and wherever your travels take you as a team this summer. Lyle Overbay, 14 years in the bigs, 1,355 hits. 151 homers. I didn't realize you had that kind of power, Lyle.
Neither did I.
All right. Well, it's really great talking to you. I appreciate it, Lyle.
Yeah, I appreciate the time. Thanks.
Lyle Overbay. He's a good guy. I like him a lot. But you know what I love? Sounds like he married his high school sweetheart in Centralia. They traveled to seven major league teams in 14 years, all around the country. And then they come back. I think they're in the Lacey, Tumwater area now, just north of Centralia. But I love that. I love people who marry their high school sweethearts. Six kids. He made good dough in 14 years, too. And now gets to coach. That's not bad. Not bad. He sounds like a very good man. I like talking to him. Okay, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big Local.
I just continue to disbelieve how much criminality our government is trying to encourage. There is a bill in the state legislature right now. State Senator Joe Wynn from White Center. He wants to prevent police from pulling over drivers for minor offenses like expired tabs, broken taillight, something hanging from your rearview mirror, that sort of thing. First of all, I don't think cops should pull you over for expired tabs. I think the cops should join us in a little civil disobedience, and we should not give our money to Sound Transit. Those crooks. They are crooks. The most criminal public agency in America's history. And I do mean that. I am not engaging in hyperbole. But it seems like everything Democrats do is to encourage more and more and more crime. Whether it's let's legalize drugs, state Supreme Court, let's legalize all drugs statewide. Let's let prisoners out of prison, even if it's for a gun offense. And then we'll talk about how we need tougher gun laws. And Jay Inslee lets hundreds of people who are in prison for felony gun offenses walk free to protect them from COVID. Yeah, who's going to protect us from the other end of their gun, Governor, when they go back to their life of crime? And on and on and on. So anyway, the state senator, Joe Wynn, he is saying that he wants to prohibit police traffic stops for minor offenses now. But here's the problem. When the police make one of these traffic stops, they can check to see if this person has outstanding warrants, if they're wanted for any crimes. And I'll give you an example. Down in San Diego, they did a study. The police made, it was 226,000 minor offense traffic stops. And out of that, they made 3,000 arrests. So other crimes attached to these drivers became public knowledge of the cops, and they were able to get 3,000 criminals off the streets. And State Senator Joe Wynn says, no, 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 I want to keep the criminals on the streets.
There's a term, driving while black, that is used in the black community because...
And by the way, just, I know he says this because it's a real good buzz phrase for the far left now, but the commonality is criminal offenses. And to assume, as the senator does, that blacks have a higher proportion of criminal offenses, I think is racist. But go on.
There's
senator.
A term, driving while black, that is used in the black community because of these types of stops.
State Senator Joe Wynn says he is finalizing a bill to prevent officers from stopping drivers for expired tags, broken taillights, windows with too much tint, or something dangling from a rearview mirror. They're called pretext stops, and last year, Virginia banned them.
Things that don't pose anybody any risk or harm, but are used as a pretext for officers to then check for other things.
So why have laws on the books then? Why should we have an expired tabs law? And by the way, I hate tabs. The main reason I haven't had a car for the last 2 months is because I don't want to pay car tabs. And if my wife and I can figure out life with just one car, I want to do that because I don't want to give a penny to Sound Transit because they're a bunch of crooks. But why have laws? It seems like Democrats are just maniacal about keeping laws off the books, letting criminals walk
free. Wynn says pretext stops rarely help police fight crime. He points to a study that found of the nearly 260,000 traffic stops over 2 years by San Diego police, only 1.3% led to an arrest.
My goal is to limit the interactions between the general public and law enforcement unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, because cops can't be trusted. I know the whole Democrat mantra right now. And by the way, like I said, the San Diego traffic stops, they said, well, only 1.4%. 3,000 people were arrested for more serious offenses and off the streets down there. You can flip those numbers any way you want, but 3,000 criminals were off the streets because of that. All right, there you have it. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you, and then, oh, you know how much I love the final half hour on Fridays. It's coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. I don't know what to do. I was all set to go off on a maniacal rant. It's tough to do maniacal rants when Dead Mouse is on. Bring it up, Full Sean! Do we have a guest here, Sean? Breaking news guest. He's ready to go. Okay.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to go off in my maniacal rant. So you just heard the breaking news. Bob Ferguson has announced that he's going after Tim Iman. And look, I know Tim's controversial. I also know that he's done a lot to save taxpayers a lot of money, and that makes government officials crazy. I also know that Bob Ferguson is the most dangerous public official in Washington state history. Bob Ferguson tried to use the power of the Attorney General's office to get me fired. And you know that we're supposed to have the protection of the First Amendment. Bob Ferguson knows that, and he used the power of the AG's office and sent out emails to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people on his mailing list to get me fired off of this radio show. He is an out-of-control maniac. And I just heard that he's going after Tim Iman now to recover the AG's legal fees in the Washington State versus Iman. Just heard this. It was breaking news seconds ago. Tim Iman live here on the Dory Monson Show. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Dory. Good to talk with you.
Okay. We've talked about this before. And Bob Ferguson can, if he chooses to go after a private citizen like you, like me, he has unlimited resources banked by the taxpayers of the state of Washington. You told me you filed for bankruptcy because of having to fight all this stuff. And now he is coming after you for an additional $3 million to pay back the AG's legal fees. What's your response?
Well, yeah, at every hearing, they would always have like four or five assistant attorney general staffers. I mean, they threw the absolute whole kitchen sink and jacked up their costs as much as they possibly could because the hope was that it would destroy me and I would never actually make it to trial. And just because, you know, literally thousands of people ended up helping me with my legal defense fund, I was at least able to get over the finish line, scraping and scratching and clawing. It's taken everything that I've ever earned, all the money that I've raised over the last 8 years, just to get to this moment to find, hopefully, a judge that would see the ridiculousness of this situation. And this judge just rubber-stamped it, saying $2.6 million fine, $2.8 million additional on top of that for attorney's fees, $5.4 million. and they can look in my bank account and see that there's about $28,000 in there. So it is a completely absurd thing that I'm committed to appealing.
Okay, so, I mean, why even appeal it if there's no blood in the stone? I mean, what's he going to get from you if you're bone dry now?
There is something to be said for that. There's certainly the reality, if he gets away with it with me, somebody else is going to be next. I'm basically Irish. I can't give up on a fight. It's not something that I can walk away from. But there's also all this injunctive relief, all this restrictions on basic First Amendment rights. The one that I think is just particularly interesting in the ruling that the judge ordered is he said, Tim Iman is prohibited under this court order from participating in the decision making for a political action committee.
Your First Amendment guaranteed right.
It's participate in the decision making. Now, I don't even know what that means. I mean, how do you comply with no participation? However, I'm allowed to sponsor initiatives and promote initiatives, but I can't participate in the decision-making for a political committee for it. It's truly, truly over-the-top violations of basic First Amendment rights, but it's not like the judge really did do this stuff. He just rubber-stamped what the AG asked for. It's not like he came up with this stuff. It was all boilerplate stuff that the AG had asked for, and the judge just signed off on it. If you read the order, it's got all of Ferguson's rhetoric about egregious and over the top. Normally these orders are just pretty, you know, sedate kind of things. It was everything right that Ferguson ever wanted. And he does. He's got an unlimited supply of money targeting private individuals. Well, it's a florist in the Tri-Cities, just this little lady that didn't want to do a gay wedding, or me or you or just regular citizens. The guy is just a bully who has unlimited resources to go after people that can't possibly normally be able to fight back. The only reason I was able to is because thousands of people, forgive me, went to timdefense.com and donated so that I could pay my lawyers to be able to fight this thing. And I do need to fight this thing on an appeal because it is so violative of First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, the Eighth Amendment against excessive civil fines. I mean, these are just obvious violations, and you can't
because we're almost out of time here, but here's what I'll tell you, that and I'm serious about this, Bob Ferguson. I don't know if you realize this, Tim. You have a lot of people out there who don't like you.
That's weird. Are you
caught
sure
wind of that?
Are you sure?
I saw it on Twitter.
You saw that, did you?
But here's the thing.
Subtle.
I don't care if people don't like you. They should be fearful of an overreaching tyrannical government. And I'm serious. Bob Ferguson, several months ago, he sent out to his fundraising mailing list, telling them to call Bonneville to get me fired. And you want to talk about a First Amendment violation where government tries to silence somebody who is a watchdog of government? And man, he is out of control. Okay, website
one more time. Bullies throw the weight around.
I know.
He's got tremendous power. And I'm so grateful you were able to survive it. And I think I can survive it too, as long as people keep fighting. And we are going to do an initiative this year, stopping any kind of income tax. And I think the voters are on our side. We'll just keep moving forward with that.
Okay. Give your website again. One more plug.
I really appreciate it. It's timdefense.com, timdefense.com. Literally everything I've ever had is now gone, but I'm committed to appealing this stuff because it is so over-the-top outrageous, and if they do get away with it with me, you could be next. So I'm hopeful people will stick with us, and we're going to keep fighting. And I'm just so grateful to you, Dory, for fighting for $30 tabs and all the policies we've done. And people don't need to like me in order to be able to stand up for people's rights. Literally in one of the court rulings, they said a sex offender will have more First Amendment rights than Tim Iman will by the time this order goes through. It's terrifying.
He's the most dangerous politician I've ever covered in my life, Bob Ferguson. All right, Tim, thanks for jumping on such short notice. And we have our awesome audio of the week, today's sign, all coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. It's time when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
Well, since we just talked to Tim Iman live, there was a clip we played earlier this week. And this shows you just how out of control our government is. And look, I get it that Tim Iman can be kind of a squirrely fella. I've told him that to his face. But man, government deciding they're going to just target somebody. So Iman has testified a couple of times on $30 car tabs. And listen to how our state legislature just silences people who have dissent.
I had a debate with Steve Hobbs up in Everett, and he made every argument he could about continuing to rip people off. It's worth it because look at all this great stuff we're doing for you. The voters didn't buy it. Nearly 60% of voters in Snohomish County didn't buy it.
Cut his mic off, Dana. All right.
Cut his mic off. This is a state legislator telling a private citizen who's testifying, cut his mic off.
Before you go on, Tim, I did not intend to rip people off. So choose your words carefully. I give you the courtesy to speak in this committee. You're not going to come in here and insult me. There are many times I've even let you have extra time. So let's be.
Why? Why can't a private citizen say something that a legislator takes umbrage?
Respectful. Dana, you can reset his clock to 1 minute. Go ahead.
Well, thanks very much. We did have a very respectful debate that evening, and we both made our arguments to the voters. And we both tried to convince them that our position was the right one. 60% of the voters in Snohomish County voted in favor of making car tabs $30. Your arguments were rejected by those voters. We were both respectful of one another, but we both realized that a majority of voters, an overwhelming majority of voters, expect not to get ripped off by a $10,000 car getting taxed as if it's worth $25,000. That is getting ripped off. You personally are not doing it, but by not fixing the problem, the entire legislature is ripping us off, not doing anything about it, and now pouring salt in the wound by increasing all the other taxes, all the other fees, plus the low carbon fuel standard, plus the carbon tax, plus the cap and trade. There just seems this insatiable tax appetite and a disrespect for the voters. Thank you very much for your consideration.
And that's why, even though I don't always agree with him, that's why I have Tim on, because he does fight for lower taxes. All right. Also in our awesome audio, this is one from just earlier today. This is how quick your day can change. This is kind of a upper middle class neighborhood in North Carolina. Guy's going out to his car with his wife.
Good morning.
Oh, jogger's running by the front of his house. He says, hi to
him. Good morning.
He notices his car's a little dirty.
I need to wash my car.
And then their day took a quick turn for the worse. It's a bobcat attacking his wife. Then it jumps on the guy, and he has it on his forearm. And he throws his forearm forward and throws the bobcat about 20 feet across the yard.
Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up! No. Get up! Get up! Watch out! Oh, shoot that! Get up! Watch out! Watch out! It's a bobcat! Attack my wife! A bobcat!
They killed the bobcat. It tested positive for rabies, but that's how fast your day can turn. You can go from this.
Good morning.
To this in 40
seconds. It's a bobcat! Attack my wife! A bobcat!
You just never know what life's going to deal at you. But we'll keep dealing with it together as best we can. I'm going to take a little time off here. Don't worry, I didn't get fired. I'm not going to be sick again. I'm just going to take a little time off. But you'll be well taken care of. And I'll see you really soon. Okay. God bless you in these crazy times. Tom Curley coming up next. And I'll see you soon. Later.
think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.